What's up, goons? No Jim and them this week, but I didn't want to leave you hanging. Here's the latest episode of my new podcast with Jacob Burrows called Blank Meets Blank. Yeah, we just pull things out of a hat, and then we make a show out of it. It's genius. We're genius. You're going to love it. Peace.
Welcome to Blank Meets Blank, where ideas are easy and writing is cheap. But don't tell the networks that, because we got it all planned out. We're laying here on our beaches, our windy, shitty beaches, because we're not in LA, not yet, but we're working our way there. And, you know, with this money from our hit television show, I think we're going to be fine. Everyone remembers that one, right? Because it's going to be huge and famous. I'm Jacob Burrows. With me is my co-writer and co-retired person from writing, because we're now millionaires, Jim Scampoli.
That's right, I'm Jim Scampoli. And, oh my God, living the life of luxury, peak TV, it's been the greatest gift to me. All I do is pitch shows and make money.
Yes, well, we're done with that now, because Dunaway Daughters has done away with all of that, and now we're just going to be, it's easy street from here on out, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, so it was fine, so we actually don't need to make another show. We'll just shut it down, though. We'll shut down the podcast, because we have a hit, so we'll just stop then, yeah?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I got a communique from Hollywood. Seems like female-centered shows are not in anymore.
What?
So it seems like Dunaway Daughters is done.
But we even put, the trans character in. Are we really not... Aren't we famous now?
They decided to go another way. They're going with the marvelous Mr. Michaels.
Oh, God damn it. Those men always getting in the way. Okay, well, fine. We'll just do another. It's easy anyway. Writing's easy. It's all cheap, but we'll do it. Don't tell them that, though. Jim, okay, I guess we'll have to make another drawing. If this is your first time listening, we do draw two random things from hats and make a television show out of it. It's very easy. And Jim has the Hollywood hat. Would you care to make a drawing?
Absolutely. Hollywood, baby. That's me through and through. Let me see. I want to get a good one. I want to get a good one here. Ooh, do you want to pick yours first, or should I reveal?
Just reveal it.
The Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. Oh, wow. You're going to have to help me on this one, Jim. I'm not super familiar.
Well, let me just tell you something about me. It's something I take pride in, is that I've never watched a full episode of The Brady Bunch. So,
now, why did we put this one in? Okay, great. No, that's fine. I'm sure we'll figure it out. You quickly Wikipedia The Brady Bunch while I pick something from The Crazy Hat. Yes, the one with all the crazy things in it. Okay, it looks like we're going to be doing The Brady Bunch meets The American Dream.
It's almost synonymous, I feel.
Yeah, I know. I also assumed this. Is it not a sitcom? Aren't they all peddling The American Dream? You tell me, you're more American than me.
Well, I mean, obviously, I still know the basic gist of The Brady Bunch. It's, yes, A woman with three girls marries a man with three boys, and so it is a new paradigm, at least for the time, because it's like, apparently, I mean, I don't know, what's the story? Did they get a divorce, or did their spouses die? I guess that's an interesting thing I'd never thought about. But yes, I mean, it's basically products of some sort of divorce or tragedy. They come together and build a new family.
Well, it's Mike Brady, a widowed architect with three sons. And marries Carol Martin, who herself has three daughters. Doesn't say what's up with that, though, if she's also a widow or a divorcee. In the first season, awkward adjustments, accommodations, gender rivalries, and resentments inherent in blended families dominate the stories. So this is the part of our show where we try to figure out what we're pulling from each of these two aspects. Yeah. Now, Brady Bunch, it's a sitcom, right? I mean, look, I'm very basic on this. Okay, cool. So we're on there. And it started in 1969. It went until 1974. Not super surprised you didn't watch every episode. What were you gonna say?
Well, I mean, my girlfriend's younger than me. She loves the Brady Bunch, and she does put it on sometimes. And I'm always like, I always make the statement of like, I've never seen a full episode of the Brady Bunch, and I shan't be starting now. I think it's kind of what you already said. Yeah, we learned in the first episode Mike's wife has passed away. However, the absence of Carol's first husband remains a mystery. The network wanted her to be a widow because the thought of being divorced was too risque for the times. But yeah, you don't, even though we're, it's probably a good thing that we're not like Brady Bunch fanboy aficionados or whatever, because when you pitch things, it's more about the feel. It's more about when you're pitching something as like, blah, 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 Brady Bunch meets Die Hard or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not about knowing every episode.
Can you imagine if we drew that, Jim, how fun this episode would be?
It's more about what that means in your head, because it's the shorthand. So, yes, the thing with the Brady Bunch, even though, I mean, looking at it now, it does feel like, oh, wow, for 1969 or whatever when it first premiered. Yeah, I have the Wikipedia up. So what? It is kind of revolutionary that the fact that, you know, they can't bring up divorce, but they do want to have these single parents. That's got to be a weird thing. But either way, it's the ideal version of America. That's why it is weird to go with the American dream. But the great thing about that, though, is even though it's the Brady Bunch meets the American dream, the reason why that's a perfect pairing is because that means we have to flip it on its head.
Well, you know
what I mean?
That makes sense. My first thought was, I know the American dream will, you know, technically be, you know, Declaration of Independence, all this nonsense. In my head, I'm like, what about cowboys? Like, that's what about cattle rustlers? What about Little House on the Prairie? Like, the dream of going out there into the unknown and finding something, you know, that's an American dream, right, Jim? Or am I crazy?
It is, but I feel like when people talk about the American dream,
it's
more, you're talking about this, I'm gonna go get a piece of the pie, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna find my happiness.
Right,
in
the West, the Wild Wild West.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
Jim,
I mean,
West, Desperado. Yeah.
Manifest destiny, of course.
No, you're right.
Well, I mean, all right. Well, let's start with the Brady Bunch first before we get into the American dream.
Okay.
And we can even maybe point out what pieces of the American dream already exist. Because the whole thing with the Brady Bunch is that, the sexual tension between the stepbrothers and sisters. No, I'm just kidding.
Episodes focus on typical preteen and teenage adjustments, such as sibling rivalry, puppy love, self-image, character building, and responsibility. Noticeably absent was any political commentary, especially regarding the Vietnam War. Yes. Okay. Cool.
Well, it is. I mean, it's about, besides it being a blended family, it is about how, like, yeah, there's the mini drama of just family life of, like, oh, brothers and sisters and, yeah, preteen, high school drama, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, it's a fairly well-off family. They have a nice house. They live in a nice neighborhood. They have a maid. It's not like, I don't remember. I mean, again, I haven't seen full episodes, but I don't feel like there was financial woe episodes of like, how are we going to pay the mortgage? But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's deeper than I thought. But it's just about that stability and about how everyone is kind of, for the most part, happy outside of the situational comedy, if you will.
Yeah. Let me throw another curveball at you. Okay, fine. Jim, you convinced me. No cowboys. But American Dream, who made the American Dream? The founding fathers, of course. What if the fathers of our Brady Bunch are the founding fathers? And it's kind of like, you know, we're actually building America, but it's a sitcom, maybe.
That's tough because you start getting problematic with, like, I mean, of course, we respect and love the founding fathers, but then what... Are we going to shy away from, like, the atrocities of the time?
Good question. I don't know.
You know, like, are we going to have slaves on our sitcom?
Well, Hamilton did it. Like, Hamilton did fine. They made it modern. Like, Jim.
Well, I mean, at that point, then, yeah, are we going to make the Brady Bunch rappers? Are we going to make the Founding Fathers?
Look, at least one of them, like... One of the weird, what if it's an alternate universe where we have all the founding fathers, but it's in modern setting? Or maybe we just take the names of the founding fathers and put them in a gay family together. Like, now we're not problematic anymore. Like, what if it's Jefferson and Hamilton? Not them necessarily, but, you know, someone. And
I think you're acting like we pulled Hamilton from the hat.
Look, I've always acted like we pulled Hamilton from the hat. And yeah, you finally called me on it. We've pulled the American Dream, but what are we going to pull from the American Dream, Jim? Because it's too vague. We need to pull concrete things from it.
Well, real quick, I want to back it up again, just real quick. So, okay, so, I mean, obviously then from the Brady Bunch, we're going to pull family life.
Yes.
It is going to be, now, I assume, I mean, I guess we don't have to decide yet as far as financial situation then, as far as is this a middle class family, is this a working class, is this a poor, upper, you know, whatever. I guess we could figure that out.
Yeah.
But okay, so, I mean, obviously there's going to be the family life, there's going to be the drama that goes on with that. There's going to be the children of different ages, so we can kind of take a piece of a little bit of everything, whether it be the younger kids in elementary school, because you can kind of play to the cute crowd with that.
Yeah.
Where it's just more like wholesome stuff. But then when you get into either a tweener or potentially like, you know, early teens, you don't want to go too high because you're thinking TV show here. You want to live. You have time to get into high school, so maybe it's like right before high school, so things can get a little bit more melodramatic.
Yeah.
And then you got to play with the actual relationship. Now, again, I mean, obviously part of where you want to flip that on its head, is, like you mentioned, I mean, this could be a gay couple, and that kind of plays around with that. I'm sure there's been a gay Brady Bunch at some point.
Of
I'm
course,
trying to think of what...
This is the problem with drawing sitcom, I feel, because even if we flip it or do whatever, it's a format that's been turned on its head and moved and shaken around for decades, so it's tricky. I have another curveball for you, though. What about this, Jim? Like, and I already know, you're probably not going to love it. What it's the American Dream. You know, let's say that's the title of the show for now. But the main character is called America, and they're a personification of the state of America. Their single parent is Britain, and they become estranged. Like, all the characters are countries in the world, and they're personifications of those nations. No, stay with me, Jim. And we have historical events play out, like Vietnam World War, World War II. All these things played out, but as personifications, and it's through family drama. What do you think?
This is getting very high concept. I'm not putting it in the no pile yet. I'm seeing the potential for sure.
Very diplomatic of you, yeah.
I know I kept putting off the American Dream part, but okay, yes. I feel like we got some of the basic Brady Bunch things, so let's pull from the American Dream. Now, I know you're getting you're definitely getting into the historical part of that. I don't feel like that's being as true to when you say the American Dream. But again, could be just because I'm an American.
Yeah.
Maybe we do got to think international audiences here, too. So there definitely has to be that point of view on what they see as the American Dream. Now, I mean, the big thing, like I said, I feel like the American Dream is the pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You come from nothing, and then you get a big ass, like, you don't
house.
Just get a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, you don't just get like a little slither. You're thinking, when you talk about the American Dream, you're getting a big ass piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Whether that means like you're taking a piece of someone else's pie.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is the American Dream means capitalism. So is that, am I right?
Pretty much.
Right.
In a way, yes. Yeah.
Let's try to draw capitalism from it. But yeah, you're an American. Like, tell me what else is the American Dream? Because, like, I have no clue, obviously.
Well, it is. It's, you know, yeah, capitalism, big part of it, obviously. And it is just, it is, I mean, family's a big part of that. It is that, you know, whether it be you're providing for, or your family's being provided for. You have a nice house. You live in a nice neighborhood. All those ne'er-do-wells are, you know, they're out there, but they're far away, and that's a good part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so Wikipedia throws in some things, like you've mentioned, the upward social mobility for family and children, and which we achieve through having, you know, hard work in a society with few barriers. That's the pie aspect. You know, it should be rich and full for everyone. Life, all men are created equal, yada yada yada.
I'm looking, dude, and I don't feel like I'm finding a gay Brady Bunch. I mean, I'm finding, I'm looking at a list of, you know, sitcoms and TV shows with LGBTQ you know, characters, but is this really just that much of an untapped market? I guess it is. I mean, of course, Modern Family like has all the different family characters, and one of them is a gay couple that has an adopted daughter, but I'm not seeing this like version of the Brady Bunch. Now, I guess to me, the Brady Bunch, as far as what I watched, is more like a show called, like Step by Step. Now, again, you're not an American, so I don't know if you understand the relevance of Step by Step, which basically ripped off the Brady Bunch.
Right.
Let me tell you the premise here. Frank Lambert, a divorced contractor, has three children. John, Alicia, and Brendan. Carol Foster, a widowed salon owner, also has three children, Dana, Karen, and Mark.
Now, Jim, you're accidentally reading from the Wikipedia for Brady Bunch. Like, that's the Brady Bunch.
I mean, the only thing they did different is, yeah, it's not like the guy just has sons. He has a daughter as well, and then the lady doesn't have just daughters. So, yes, this can work, but I feel like we needed to be a gay couple, clearly.
Okay, because that's the American dream. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's a whole new paradigm.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is, that's how you play with the American dream because, you know, as we've seen in media, these are underrepresented, marginalized people that we haven't seen go through the same. And putting it on TV and playing it out, we see that, oh, my God, that's not that different than what you'd think the quote normal life would be of the, you know, the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. The thing I'm bumping up against as far as sitcoms and things like that is, like when we talk about capitalism, my thought, and as well as, and social mobility as well, it's like, okay, we have like a family of bums who become millionaires, but then it's like, no, that's Beverly Hillbillies. Like that's already a thing, but it's kind of the American dream.
Yeah. But I don't think it has to be, I don't think you're that overt with it. Cause I don't think people, well, I mean, I guess to an extent people do think of it that way. Like, oh, I'll be a bum one day and then I'll be living in a mansion in a year. I think you're portraying it more as just working stiffs. Working stiffs work hard, and that's all it takes. As long as you work hard, it's going to work out.
Yeah, but that's the problem with pulling both of these, because it are like what we're saying that we're going to pull from the American Dream is already in the Brady Bunch. So it's just modern the Brady Bunch in that case. That's why I'm trying to find more concrete things, even though they're silly, to pull from it. Like, we need something that is... Like, that's why I was like, oh, yeah, America is a person or something like that, because otherwise it's just a standard sitcom. Because Brady Bunch already has the American dream in a subtle way.
But the thing is, but I feel like what you're pitching, that it no longer becomes a sitcom. It's more of like a drama. I mean, I guess you could do that sitcom-y.
I was thinking like maybe it's an animated show. They all like wear the colors of their flags, stuff like that. That's probably already an anime. I think that might be an anime.
I'm wondering if they like run a theme park or something.
Okay, now we're talking.
Just throwing that out there.
No, like Jim, the theme park's called the American Dream, and it's decrepit and run down, and they're trying to, you know, rustle it up and make it popular again, maybe.
Maybe we could work in some of your historical stuff, like in the rides in the theme park.
Maybe they have to dress up as the founding fathers because that's the theme of the theme park. It's a historical theme park. See, now we're cooking.
But who would ever go to that theme park?
Exactly, because it's all decrepit and run down, but they have to turn it around and make it work. Only one, like the father or the mother, really believes in this thing and, you know, marries someone. And then it's like, after they get married, it's like, by the way, we're going to run a theme park that I inherited just now.
But you know what, then? The only reason why the theme park... the theme park has to be kind of on an uptick, but the only reason why it's on an uptick is because of Hamilton, the popularity of Hamilton.
Yes, and they hate that people come over and try to get them to rap. Like, the son who plays Hamilton is so annoyed. Or maybe he just gets hella chicks, I don't know. Maybe he's happy about it. Okay, no, look, this is it. This is the idea. We get it all. We just like an American, we have it all in this one, I think.
Well, okay, then are we abandoning? Is this still a gay couple? I mean, I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Jim, it's one of our shows. There's going to be gay couples. Is the primary couple gay? Yes. And they're going to face criticism for being gay and running a theme park called The American Dream by, you know, racists and idiots who think that can't be gay in America. And they run a theme park that's glorifying America.
But I also feel like they face that same criticism in-house. They face that from people that feel like, from whether it be gay people or special rights groups that feel like, how can you support, like, Because to the other side, like, the American dream's bullshit. You know what I mean?
This is so great because everyone's going to hate their theme park except the people who like Hamilton. And there's going to be, this is a sitcom, so there's going to be episodes and episodes where they try to get Lin-Manuel Miranda to show up. And they're, like, always talking about him, but he's never on screen until he finally makes an appearance in one of the episodes. And the in-studio audience goes mad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because we can't forget the pursuit of happiness. That's part of the American dream. It's in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Of course. And so they play that song, "The Pursuit of Happiness," all the time.
Yeah.
That's what you meant, right? So characters. Let's figure out these characters. I feel a little bit. We have a couple. They're gay. So two guys or girls. What do you think? We did two girls last time. Well, not two girls, but a bunch of girls. Do we go guys? What do you feel?
Interesting.
I kind of want to go two guys.
Yeah, I don't...
Maybe we can... Oh, okay, Jim. We have to go two guys because then we can name the show The Founding Fathers. And they have a family.
Oh, yes.
You know? So it's
absolutely.
Two guys.
It is two guys. I mean, it's two men of color, I would say.
Okay.
But how do we get in this situation then? So they have children?
Yeah, I mean, they, according to the Brady Bunch, they have three children each. But maybe we'll scale that back just a little. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Maybe one of them does. But I feel like one of them, like, of course, I mean, one of them can have adopted children. But I feel like one of them, maybe it's just he's found later in life, like, you know, because sexuality is fluid.
Mm.
And he could be a divorcee. These are his, you know, his children from his previous wife.
Makes sense.
But and it's not even like we're putting a label on it. It's not so much that, like, he was straight and now he's gay, or he didn't know he was gay, or he fought against it. It's not even like that. It's just that, you know, no, his wife, he loved his wife. You know, his wife passed away.
Yeah.
But now he met his new husband. And it just is what it is. There's no explanation. We don't have to have a dark backstory for it. It just, it's a fluid thing. This is how it happens.
Yes.
At least from this one character's point of view.
I feel that one of them does inherit this theme park, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I was just about to say the same thing.
Yeah. And so, like, one of them is all for it, and the other one is in love with this man, but maybe had, like, a big city job, and now they're moving out to run a theme park or something, and... Maybe he thought it would be great to leave his stressful big city job, but then, you know, he comes out here. Maybe this other guy is from the countryside. I don't know why this theme park's in the countryside. I guess it makes sense, though, kind of, that it's an old, like, it is obviously, like, from the 50s or even earlier, like, maybe early 1900s theme park that they've sort of trying to get back into shape again. So one city guy, one country guy. What do you think?
Well, but the thing is, how establishes this relationship when the show starts? Are we seeing the budding relationship, or is it already there together? I guess in the Brady Bunch, I think the Brady Bunch, just the song tells you that they're together, and then when we start, they're already together. Step by step, as I said, on the other hand, even though step by step, we didn't pull from the hat, but it is a derivative of Brady Bunch, does get a little bit more into the origin tale of this relationship.
Okay, I
just feel like if we drop people in, are they going to get it? Are they going to understand what's going on here? Or maybe, I guess, we are like the Brady Bunch, where we have a nice classic sitcom intro song that kind of explains to you what's going on.
I feel that the relationship is already a thing because we don't need it, because we want it to be an upheaval for the characters. Or the relationship maybe is, like, they've moved to this place. And they're newlyweds, I think, or just together, whatever. But it's got to be like, this is a new situation. The new situation shouldn't be the relationship necessarily. This is
the
big
new situation
step
is a theme park. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? No, I think you're right. They are newlyweds.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is how, like, because, I mean, not just here in United States of America, but I mean, all over the world, gay marriage is. Because it's new here, it's becoming new to other places, it's still not a thing in other countries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that can play a part into it, because it's like, I don't think the theme park comes in till, like, the end of the first episode, like, or towards the end, because I think part of the argument is, like, you know, our American dream was the fact that we can be married now.
Yeah.
And it's like, now, like, we almost owe it to this theme park to, you know, rebuild. And honestly, I feel like the better stock to play, because, I mean, obviously we'll be able to play up with the standard homophobes and racists and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the better stock to play, at least overall theming, is the progressives' thought of the American dream and how those people lost faith. And it's more building that up by this ideal. And oh my God, because I really thought like, oh, Brady Bunch is already ideal. But we have this LGBTQ couple and they're like supporting it and looking at it in an ideal way.
Yeah, no, exactly. They're revolutionizing the American dream, I would say.
Yes.
Now, let me just ask a couple of quick format questions before we get into the pilot here. It is obviously a sitcom. I think it's filmed like in front of a live studio audience. Like it's that kind of sitcom. It's not a single camera thing. What do you think?
No, I agree. I feel like we're going classic sitcom here. We have to. If we're evoking the Brady Bunch when we pitch it. Because see, that's the thing of how like when we pull this shit from a hat, we're stuck with it. And, you know, if we pulled The Office, then we could be like, oh, okay, this is a more modern take on a sitcom, multi-camera. But no, where blank meets blank, we're going to hold true to what we feel the spirit of the stupid raffle thing we pulled.
Yes. Great. So we'll get into the pilot, but I want to have a couple of things about these characters first. One of the guys inherits this park. You said the park comes in. Well, maybe we'll just get into the pilot. You said it comes in towards the end, but in a sitcom at the same time, I feel like it's the inside, like the speed of it has to like establish everything in the pilot in 20 minutes. So we have to have like, we have to see the sets. Like we have to see the sets of the theme park and all of that in the first episode.
I don't think we do. I'm going a little different here. Mm. I feel like, yeah, we're going to get there. But maybe that's part of what we're subverting the genre with. I mean, we're going to get there where it's, yes, these sets. But I'm just saying in the beginning, I feel like it has to play out. We're playing out off of like this, the newlywed aspect and almost like it's almost a twist.
Okay. No, but look,
no one saw it coming.
I see where you're coming from, but it is like in this format. I'm pretty particular about the fact that we need to have the sets in the first episode. So my thinking is they're on their honeymoon and our guy who inherits the park brings his lover and husband to this park. And his husband is like, this is so ridiculous and silly. He doesn't know that, you know, it's in his family. So he brings him there as on their honeymoon. He's like, maybe it starts with like him blindfolded and he's like, you know, oh, I'm going to show you where we're going for our honeymoon. It takes it off and it's this America theme park. It's like, oh, and we get lots of jokes out of that. And he just hates it. The twist then is I've inherited this and I want us to run it together. Like that's the twist we get, maybe.
But I think where you're going is probably better. Because I was feeling like he inherited it from like a hateful uncle.
That's even, like that's great. Old, yes.
but on his deathbed or he's kind of turned around and it's part of his regrets. I guess it still works. We could still work it that way.
Okay, but look, no, but if we're doing that, I want this guy around, this hateful uncle. I don't want him dead. He can inherit it, but the guy's around. He's like Junior in The Sopranos. He's there, you know?
Okay, well then here, what do we go with? If this character's around, then is it an Archie Bunker? I keep referencing, you know Archie Bunker, right?
Sure. Yeah, well, Archie. Is he from Archie, the Archies, right? He's in the comics.
Is he an Archie Bunker type character? Or is he a hateful character that's turned around and is trying to prove that he's progressive now?
I think he's suffered horrible financial situations and he kind of gets out of bankruptcy by moving it on to his relative who he kind of hates, but then they like have to run it together somehow. Yeah, like so I think he's an Archie Bunker. I'm flipping a coin. I assume that means he's genuinely bad. I have no idea.
Well, Archie Bunker, I mean, it's all in the family and like he was like a curmudgeon character, but he would say stuff like fag and, you know, four eyes, and he was kind of racist.
Right, so we can do one of those slurs.
But he was like kind of endearing in a weird way, and he would kind of learn. I mean, I guess it's not like I watched a lot of All in the Family. It's very surface level what I know. people still enjoyed him. Like, I think he was supposed to be more of a like laugh at him, but I think people laughed with him a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. Like, are we going to use him for kind of cheap? I mean, obviously, we're not going to be like derogatory.
No, but he's going to learn. Like, yes, but he's going to be that guy, but they're going to grow to love each other. Duh. Like, it's the American dream.
he would do kind of, like, he'll have little funny sideways glances when they're being like kind of lovey towards each other. But, you know, but then he like sticks up for his nephew to like his shittier friend. You know what I mean? Like his friend that's like him, but a little shittier.
Yes.
But then he's like, hey. You know, that's my nephew.
That's my family.
Going back to it then, like, we're talking about people of color for this. Or is this an interracial couple?
That's what I felt all along, and I didn't want to say it. But if you're going to say it, I think yes. I think, I feel like... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, the characters are talking to us here. And I mean, the characters are telling us
what,
all right, I'm with you on that.
So we have a widower. He's, you know, middle-aged, I would say. He has these kids. We can figure out the exact age, but I've just been calling them widower, city husband, and curmudgeon uncle. Those are our three characters at the moment. I think city husband is a black lawyer. That's my first thought on it. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe.
I like it. No, yeah. I like it. Well, and now that I'm thinking that we have this uncle character, maybe that character doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of, we're still doing Brady Bunch because it's more about the family he's bringing in is his uncle. Because again, we're playing with family tropes here. It doesn't have to be, I'm a guy with kids, and now let's get together.
You're right.
You know, this is a blended family.
Yeah.
So, but it does. It could be. It could extend to that.
Yes, and the widower does have kids. We'll figure them out in a sec. But more importantly, the curmudgeon uncle, he gets along well with the kids somehow, or maybe he hates one of them and gets along with one of them, or something like that. He becomes grandpa to him.
I think it's very important that he does get along with the kids because that's like a nice shortcut.
Yeah.
Of you kind of have a shitty character. But when they're nice to kids, I mean, I'm thinking like Tony Soprano here, like because he's nice to animals. So it's like, aw, you know, he does have a heart. So it's kind of I see it like that. And I think you're right. Like he kind of does hit it off with the kids. And maybe even that's a big part of
why he's doing this. Yeah, because it's legacy.
He's not related to the city lawyer with kids, though, right?
I think the widower is the one with the kids. The city lawyer doesn't have any kids.
Ah, yes. But so city lawyer, though, whose uncle is he? He's uncle of the widower.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the widower. Okay. The widower is a white guy. His family has had this park for generations, which makes sense going back. So the curmudgeon uncle is the one who's run it forever and run it into the ground, basically. Like, the rides will literally... Like, there'll be jokes about how he's run it into the ground, and they have, what do you mean? And then they point at the roller coaster that literally just runs into the ground. It's like, I'm getting around to fixing that. Wow, you want to see my bills? Ugh.
Well, and also the dynamics are coming into play because it comes down to... This curmudgeon uncle, he's alone, and, you know, even with recently this widower whose wife passed away, things are coming into focus that he's alone, and the fact that someone like his nephew's wife could pass away, he wants family closer. It's part of why he wants him there, because he wants to be closer to the kids and have a better relationship, even so much that he'll put up with his homosexual marriage.
Jim. Yeah. The curmudgeon uncle, here's what I think. The curmudgeon uncle, it was actually his niece that passed away. So he's married into the family. So it's not the widower inheriting it. Yeah. It's the kids. The kids get the park.
Yes. And what kid wouldn't be so excited to own a theme park, even a shitty one? Now it makes even more sense because it felt like a big hurdle was why they would go there.
Yes. That's excellent. Although, I mean, it would make more sense if he died and they actually had to do it, but now he's kind of just, he's maybe terminally ill, or maybe they think he's terminally ill, or he says he is, but it's like a joke towards the end of the first episode, maybe, that he just did this to get them there, or maybe the audience finds out, but the characters don't find out that he's actually not sick, at least not yet, and he's like... He just did this to get his family close to him, even though he acts all like a curmudgeon.
And dude, you know what? You know what happens? This is either the pilot or somewhere in the first season.
Yeah.
Is put together lawyer actually helps the curmudgeon uncle with his law knowledge to like get past like different bills or what they're trying to close the park because it is run down.
Yeah.
But he like helps with the paperwork to make it like a, you know, national landmark or something like that to keep it like in the family.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, and then like the curmudgeon uncle's like, ah, I respect you. You know what I mean? Like you did well for me. Like you helped me out and I was nothing but a jerk to you. You know, maybe you're not so bad after all.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, and then he's like, even though you're black, and everyone laughs hysterically. we'll fine tune the comedy for the 21st yeah. century, you know? But yeah, I really like this. I think we have a bones of a pilot here. It starts, I still think it starts with like a honeymoon that he's brought his husband on and like shows like, ta-da! And it's like this awful theme park. I think it is still running at this point, but it's kind of running into the ground, like we said. And they're staying at the hotel that's part of the theme park, and that becomes their home, obviously. Like they're gonna live there in the hotel that's all themed around like the founding fathers and all of this stuff. I'm gonna get this in the show, Jim, you can't stop me.
And I don't mean to be jumping the gun too quickly here into casting, but is there anyone better than Danny DeVito for the uncle?
No, I can't imagine that there is.
Yeah, what you're saying is good. Like, they're visiting it on the honeymoon and stuff like that, and he's trying to kind of break the news that it's something they want to do and they want to kind of move there and help run the park. And we can work in, because it's not so much that the either all the kids or one of the kids, it's not so much that they're against their father marrying a man. It's just more the fact that their mom's not around anymore, yeah. And someone is replacing their mom.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a step, because again, getting the put together lawyer to kind of agree to this, maybe it's because he wants to have that better bond with the kids as well and be like, look, I'm not replacing your mom, but I want to be part of your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, like stuff like we can make it a little bit more tender, a little bit more sweet, because again, we're just kind of making it all make sense for the characters of how they leave like the big city, I guess.
Yes.
And go to this shitty theme park.
I think maybe for the first few episodes he's still working at the law firm, so he's still trying to he has a foot in each world, and he eventually steps over fully.
And I think there's great hijinks when he's gonna obviously set up a practice, but it's more in the country with like these like
yes.
white trash bumpkins and having to deal with those like clientele coming in and out. And obviously they all live together wherever they are now,
yeah.
like with the uncle and the kids and everything.
Speaking of bumpkins, there's gotta be like one guy who does like all the jobs at the theme park, you know, one of these characters who's like an everyman, and they can't really afford to hire a lot of people, so he shows up
perfect.
Doing like everything in the park, and he's like the most bumpkin guy ever, who's just like, wait, where I just saw you over there, like I do a lot of things around here, these parts, and like
well, and
yeah, he's trying to do it in an old-fashioned accent, and he never admits that he's not Ben Franklin.
And I think I feel like this would be a younger character as well, even if he is playing Ben Franklin or something, because
yeah.
I feel like this person almost becomes a de facto adopted child as well, like another
yeah.
piece of this blended family, because as we get to play this wacky character for laughs a lot, and then have that small emotional moment where it's like, oh, they have no one, like this person has no one, and it's like, well, you know, you have us now, because you live in the house with the rest
yes.
of us.
I love that he always stays in characters, but he's a country bumpkin Ben Franklin with he was always carrying around a kite, and he's he's a real idiot, but he's so lovable and like says smart things, and he actually yeah gets them all together and does solve problems from time to time. This is all good stuff, I feel.
Now, I mean, I guess we'll just have to cast Jack McBrayer for this character, right? I mean,
well, he's
now
not
that we
that
got that
young. I mean,
yeah,
he does
true.
Look very young still, but how old is he? I have no clue. We could, though. I mean, let's do that for now, and let's
okay.
actually name a couple of these characters, I
yes.
think.
Yeah, let me make that.
So I just had a couple of names that came out of nowhere. The Widower, first thing that came to mind was Bob. I don't know, how do you feel about Bob?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Yeah, it should be kind of...
We could do literally any
yeah.
name.
No, it's fine. It's just kind of like nondescript, non-threatening. It's yeah, well, and are we going to go with some Well, no, because it's the niece. Because I was going to say, are they going to have some sort of Americanized family name?
Well, his kids, the uncle definitely has, and the kids do, because they carried on that tradition, and she had, like, a name before passing away that was, you know, reminiscent.
Because, I mean, are we doing, like, a Washington-type thing here, or, like, Lincoln or something like that? Bob Lincoln?
Well, yes, but that wouldn't, I mean... Would he have taken her name then? Like,
no, that's what I meant. That's what I was saying at first. I was like, oh, okay, but since it's the wife, but is it like, you know, oh, one of the first things she loved about me was my last name.
In that case, his name shouldn't be Bob. It should be like Doug. So it's Doug Lincoln or something like that. Something very like not dramatic for the first name. And
or do we flip the script and we just go with the lawyer has the last name like that?
Ooh, that's good.
And it's a weird endearing thing that or like it's this, it's a weird like kismet
happenstance.
That, yeah, you know, that he's part of it and, you know, stumbling in this, not by blood or, you know, he's Rey from Star Wars, you know, came from nothing.
Well, can we call him Lawrence Washington then?
Yeah. Yeah, that works.
Yeah. And as far as the curmudgeon uncle, like I wrote Cornelius, but I'm not sure about that one. What do you think we should name him?
Cornelius. Like, is that, well, that's his first name, obviously, right? I'm trying to think. Was that
yeah,
last name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Cornelius. It's a bit. I mean, what's his nickname? Yeah. They call him Corny or something? Because it would have. Yeah. Like, I feel like if he had a name like that, it's not like something regular in conversation of like, ah, Corny, get down here. You know, you spilled beer all over the floor again.
Yeah, and he started in the popcorn stands, and he worked his way up, even though he was in
you know
the
what? Yeah. Cornelius, Corny for short. I'm with it. I'm with it now. For the widower, just Bob, whatever. I guess it doesn't. Should we just go Bob Smith? Is he the most, like, nondescript fucking, you know, nothing
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, let's do that, for
He's
sure.
He's the audience surrogate, basically.
Now, about the kids, we haven't gotten into that. There's just one kid, or...
There's at least two kids. We may not need to go above the two kids. We might not have to have three because we don't need to push it just to be like, oh, Brady Bunch had threes. But I feel like two kids. And again, like we have one that's kind of the adorbs kid. He's so adorable. So he's got to be, you know, between like 3 to 5 years old or whatever. And he comes in and says like, you know, I made a duty or something. And then Corny's like, that's my boy.
No, he teaches him every time you make a duty, or every time you have to go poo-poo, you say the English are coming.
Yeah. Although, yeah, but we'd have to have one boy and one girl.
Well, let's have the girl a bit older then, because we have the country bumpkin who's a bit older than her. So we have an adorable 5-year-old kid.
Absolutely.
A tween girl. What's her age?
Yeah, I'd say, but like 12 or 13, because that puts it right at like middle school. We don't want
to grow up. We have to remember we have 8 seasons of this.
Exactly.
Like she's going to go to college, but not too soon. So let's say 12-year-old girl. How does she feel about everything going on in her life? Because it's pretty fucked.
Well, this
especially for a teenage girl who lost her mother.
Yeah, it's perfect because it's not so much that she's hateful, as far as for like the you know that her father's with a man. It's just the fact that she lost a female figure and lost her mom and someone replacing her mom.
Like she obviously has no mother figure. She comes here and like Cornelius and her get along. He's like the grumpy uncle as we've established, or great uncle. There's just guys everywhere because it's the founding fathers as well and the theme park and like women are oppressed, like there are women characters in the theme park but they're actually like historically playing out the oppression of it, and this is not a great place to live and grow up. Maybe I mean obviously it's not real, but it's like annoying to be surrounded by it maybe. And maybe she strikes up a friendship with, it's probably got to be at least another female character in this, we have very few at the moment.
Well, I mean, of course, she'll have a friend, whether it be a local friend or someone from school, but this is perfect because it's also part of what her drive is to want to, be, you know, live out this wacky situation of being a kid that co-owns a theme park. But it's, you know, it plays into, she's a feminist character. And you know, it's part of, her mom used to even always talk about how she would love to have gone back and kind of fixed things up and had better representation at the park. She's fulfilling her mother's wish.
Yes, and she becomes maybe the CEO or something through like whatever. So, or at least the major stockholder. So she's actually there, and in control of it, but she wants to do it because it was her mother's. It's the legacy that she has of her mother, but she kind of hates it once she's there, I think, as well. So she has to try to change it, and like she's almost maybe doing it despite her father, because her father is making huge changes to their life, and so she's like, "Well, I'm gonna go run this theme park now."
I feel like for the name, I mean, Betsy Ross, she's credited for making the first American flag. I feel like her name has to be Betsy. Like, we're going there, right?
Absolutely. And she does not want to change it to Betsy Washington. Although, what is Cornelius's last name? I guess we don't need to get into the details of it. We have Betsy. We have the adorable kid. What's his name? He should also have something like Franklin.
What is his name? Yeah, Franklin. That's perfect.
Maybe the older guy and him are like, "No, I'm Ben Franklin. No, I'm Ben Franklin," or whatever, because it's actually his name. Yeah, this is excellent. The kids get to own the theme park. I think we have almost everything we need. I mean, going through the beats of the pilot, we start out, it's their honeymoon, and it's then revealed that it's not a great honeymoon place. And that's like the comedy of the first episode, is them like staying in this place, discovering all the weird stuff, having the worst honeymoon ever. And then maybe towards the middle of the episode, it's like, "Oh, can we go home now?" And it's like, this is home now, which is a pretty big decision to make. But then we get it. We meet, like, they meet the crotchety old uncle, or Lawrence does, the new husband, but without knowing they're related now, and they do not get along.
Yeah.
And then it's revealed that, "No, you're actually related now," and they get into like, "Oh, geez, how is this going to work out?" I'm not sure how the first episode ends, though.
Well, no, again, I feel like it had, like, Lawrence's motivation for staying and kind of uprooting his own life is because he wants to be a father to Betsy and Franklin, and especially he wants to have a better relationship with Betsy. Just with Bob, he wants to make him happy, and he knows how important it is to him. And again, like, he comes through for Cornelius in some sort of like, this place isn't up to code. You know, we're gonna shut it down or something like that.
Yeah.
And at first, Lawrence is like, "Oh, this is great. You know, this could work great for me. Then if they shut down the park, we can just go back home to our regular life." But then he looks at his family. Then he finds a legal loophole because he's a legal genius, and he's like, "You know, actually, blah blah blah. This is actually this should be a monument or."
Yes.
Whatever, you know.
That's perfect. Yeah. No, this is protected because of special laws about monuments.
Exactly.
And he gets a protest going or something to protect it. Oh, I love that, because it's going to be like, throughout the first half of the pilot, Lawrence is brought to a boiling point by how horrible this is. And like, he's like ready to pack his bags and go home. But like, even before he knows that this is his new life. And then it's kind of revealed that Corny is... their uncle and they're gonna like run this place now, and he's, of course, that's the worst thing. Maybe he's even the person who in the first part of the episode is like, "That's not up to code," and maybe I should call someone about that, and he gets an inspector in there, so it is his fault, but they don't know that. And then like he's brought to this point where I think he sees the relationship between Betsy and Corny. He sees that they have something that he wants to be part of. Like, they have a positive relationship, because all throughout, the kids have been kind of snarky towards Lawrence, because apparently they brought their kids on their honeymoon, by the way. I guess that's, you know, that's very Brady Bunch, I feel, in a way, because the whole family's in it. Guy coming to shut it down, you're absolutely right. He goes into lawyer ninja mode and proves that, "No, yeah, do this and this and this and that." And then Bob's like, "Oh, I can't believe you decided to save it so we can stay here." And he's like, "Oh, right." He was kind of just reacting based on seeing how sad they were and everything. But in the end, it's a good thing. And I think that's the episode. That's great.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, that's a lot of plot for a sitcom, but I think we could make it work.
Yeah.
The
thing is,
because it's just bang, bang, bang anyways. Yeah.
Yes, every good sitcom has a lot of plot in the first episode, Jim, and then there's no plot for 20 episodes, and then some shit happens in the finale. Like, that's how we got to do this. Do you have any thoughts, like vague structure the rest of the season? Because that's kind of how I feel. Like it's going to be small issues with the park, trying to get it popular again, progressive people coming in hating it, non-progressive people coming in hating it, a lot of stuff about Lin-Manuel Miranda, of course, yes. And all this other stuff we mentioned. We all get it in there. Like all those ideas are an episode in themselves.
Well, that's the good thing is that it's not like other shows. It's more about, I mean, that's why we're spending so much time laying out the just the situation itself and kind of the hoops you have to jump through to get there. It's not about setting up these long-term storylines. I mean, there's, like we said, there's broad strokes, and we kind of touched upon a lot of them, and we play around with the theme again of the American Dream. Is that the name of the park? Is it called the American Dream? The show is called The Founding Fathers.
Yeah, I think it's called the American Dream, the park. And there's a bit at the start where you, like, go to sleep. It's like a bit of a tour, like, oh, go to sleep, and then you wake up in the past. Like, that's the concept. That's why it's called the American Dream.
Oh, that's great.
So as far as season two and so on, like, do we need to lay any of that out as far as it's how it's going to develop? Of course, they actually, like, by the end of season two, like, Cornelius and the family, like, they're going to be the tightest family ever. They're going to be, like, the best of friends. But it's going to take us time to get there. It's going to be slow, incremental stuff through these episodes because it's a sitcom. That's how we're going to do it. And it's going to be heartwarming. Yeah. And it's going to be the American Dream.
Yeah, because I don't think we need to really play out too much. Yeah, it's going to be kind of the back and forth. And, I mean, when we have moments where it seems like everything is copacetic, there'll be a few monkey wrenches we throw in, whether it be like, you know, Cornelius fucks something up, what are we gonna do, Lawrence gets him out of a you know, a jam, maybe, you know, there's a point where maybe Lawrence gets a great offer and then wants to maybe kind of give up this whole theme park nonsense. Here we're, you know, we're in season three or something, and it's like, you know, this is an offer I can't refuse, and maybe even play with that for a little bit where he tries to be a more in transit or like not quite a stay-at-home dad, where he's spending time in the city and then trying to balance that with his family life and how that works out on the relationship. Because the thing with the sitcom, at least the sitcom we're going for when we're talking Brady Bunch, most things have to be very static. Like you said, we have these sets. We're just playing around in these sets. Every now and then we throw a few multi-episode small arcs in that seem like things are being shaken up, but we're going to get back to where we were.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a great place to set it, I think, a theme park, because you have inherent like sets of like, or like one set that has the hotel where they're staying, like that's basically the whole first scene. They can look out the window and see the roller coaster. We obviously don't build it. We don't have the cash for that. Well, so it's like that is the set, is the hotel that's in this old school style. It is very dusty and shitty and everything. And that's where most of this happens. Maybe we'll have, you know, the school and things like that, because the kids got to start at a new school and everything along those lines. So let's fancy cast it. We have Danny DeVito for the uncle, of course. The
Absolutely.
Rest feel tricky. I'm not sure. I mean, like, for once, we're not going to go Donald Glover for the black man in this, because we want someone who's straight-laced, I feel, someone who's uptight kind of feeling with like, nice striped shirts that he's always wearing, you know? And they're probably in their 30s, right? Or late 30s, something like that.
Either mid-30s to even early 40s, I'd say. I mean, and yeah, even though they're a straight-laced character, because I was looking at it, like, you could still get maybe a Wayans or something like that, one of the Wayans guys, because it's still a sitcom. So, like, the straight-laced sitcom is usually still probably a comedian-type guy. I mean, I do like Taye Diggs. Taye Diggs is definitely an option. Mekhi Phifer is an option.
What about, like, Key and Peele, one of them?
Ooh, Keegan? I mean, because we're not getting Jordan Peele. He took off on a rocket ship. Even though everyone thought Michael Keegan would be the breakout. But nope, it was Jordan Peele.
Can we get Keegan-Michael Key?
Keegan-Michael Key. I mean, he's a little older, but he could play. He's probably playing a little younger here. I mean, because he's 47, but that's not too bad. I feel Keegan-Michael Key is perfect.
Yes,
because he can play the funny, but he also he can wear a suit and play the straight man.
Yeah,
really well. That's actually fucking perfect casting.
Yeah, I did it for once. It's usually you throwing out these ones. Right. So we got Key.
Oh my God, Danny DeVito and Keegan-Michael Key playing off each other. That's great. Let's see. Because yeah, I mean the Bob. To be fair to us as well, the Bob Smith character, we've kind of underwritten him a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. We've given
a lot more to Lawrence and Corny, obviously. But that's not out of the ordinary for a sitcom, especially in the beginning, because he is more playing, he's playing everyone to everyone. You know what I mean? He's playing the concerned dad, the sad widow to his extended family. Like, he's playing someone to Cornelius, he's playing someone to his kids, and then he's playing someone to his new husband. So he kind of has to be the Bob, I mean, it's not Bob Saget, but we're looking at a Bob Saget type. If you look at Full House, Danny Tanner is just the guy standing around while everyone's doing crazy stuff, especially in the beginning. So it's all right that his character is like that, but I'm trying to, who would we get?
Pete Holmes is a guy. He has a face that kind of looks classic sitcom, smiley
Pete Holmes,
guy.
That is, you know what? I'm not a big fan of Pete Holmes, but I feel like you nailed it. I don't know how you just pulled Pete Holmes out of your ass, but...
Yeah, I'm getting better
at this. Did you Google modern-day Bob Saget?
I think I Googled male white comedians. That's how I did it. Zach Galifianakis also came up, but I don't think
he's
that's
a little too
the vibe
edgy.
We want.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Pete Holmes, yeah, because I just saw his face and I was like, I remember that guy. He's got that classic sitcom face that he could be like a guy in a sitcom. So the rest of the characters, I mean, we don't need to cast Betsy or the even younger kid that we didn't even name. Or no, Franklin. Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah,
we don't need to cast them. They're going to be unknowns or, you know, YouTubers, whatever. We'll let the casting agency figure it out.
Well, and I guess, well, what about, are we going to stick with the other guy from 30 Rock? Let's see if we can, maybe, can we beat that?
Yeah, let's see if there's another
Jack McBride,
I cannot think of a better bumpkin. Who?
I'm just thinking of the guy's real name. He's Jack McBride, I believe.
Oh yeah.
You know what? We should probably get Eric Andre for that part, even though he is a little older too.
But he'd be like, it's fine because he could be like adopted in the sense that he's mentally a teenager, maybe.
Yeah.
Or you know, so he becomes it makes the family more interesting and fun and weird. I'm fine with that. Can you imagine him dressed up as various historical figures?
Yeah, like, it's perfect. I mean, this is the most perfectly casted sitcom in the history of, whether it be made or unmade sitcoms. I mean, this one's getting made.
Obviously. Jim, I gotta say, like, I was worried. I was sweating there for a bit. But I'm
We're stumbling at the beginning for sure.
It's almost like whenever that happens, it's like... It's like a promise that once we hit it, we're going to nail it. Because I knew I was throwing shit against the wall there when I was like, what if they're all, cowboys? And then you came in with the clutch. They're a theme park. Yes, of course. Thank you, Jim. You set us down the right path, and I believe we have it.
I got to give props to you for not giving up on your historical angle, because I did not think that was going to work at all. But once everything started falling in place, like we said, the characters start telling you what's going on. And it's like we're just the vessel for this story that needs to get out there.
Yes, much like the Founding Fathers had the spirit of America speaking through them, we have the spirit of great television. The golden age of television commutes through us, its prophets, Jim. And we have finished another sermon here at Blank Meets Blank. Look forward to Founding Fathers coming to ABC this fall. And I am really excited about it. I'm happy with this one. Anything else we want to add to it? Or do we just say that you can leave a review on iTunes? You can leave a review on iTunes. Tell us something to add to the hat. Something for the Hollywood hat and something for the crazy hat. We'll put it in there. And if we draw out your thing, we'll read out your name on it as well. So go ahead and do that. 5 stars preferably, but you know, it doesn't really matter. We're not making money off podcasts. We're making money off television, clearly.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody.